This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast on the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe via RSS, via iTunes, via email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side, or leave a voicemail message in two ways and appear on the show yourself by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voicemail straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right-hand side. If you have a smartphone, you can also download the free Stitcher.com app and listen that way. This week I've planned a very different kind of episode from the usual ones. After the great success of the first Yes Music Podcast quiz, I'm going to spend time today feeding back on some of the more interesting answers to those quiz questions, and finally at the end of the episode, letting you know who's won. Also, I'm going to spend a little time at the end of the episode dealing with those things which I've just mentioned in the introduction. I always skip over them, so I thought it might be nice to have a think about each one of those items that I say at the top of the programme and at the bottom in order to help you to understand some of those that maybe you haven't considered in the past. Anyway, more of that later. First of all, we'll deal with each quiz question in turn, beginning with question one. And you'll remember, before I started the quiz, I mentioned that I didn't want the answers to be easily Googleable. I wanted the quiz to be a bit more interesting than that and to appeal to the listeners to the podcast and real Yes fans. I didn't want you to be able to go and find the answer really easily and just stick it in. So that's why the first questions were all picture questions, and I tried to make them as tricky as possible to find on the covers of the Yes albums. So question one, what Yes album cover features this image? It's just a tiny extract from a Yes album cover, and quite a few people said Relayer. And I think this was because of the general colour tone of the picture, but in fact it wasn't Relayer at all. Someone else mentioned The Ladder, but most responses got it right. It was, in fact, from Yes Songs. But I was also a bit trickier than that. I didn't take the image from the front cover of Yes Songs. It's actually one of the pictures inside. Ken Fuller pointed out that he thinks that the painting it's taken from is actually called Awakening. So that was question one. For question two's picture, I wanted to feature something which wasn't quite so obviously a Yes cover, not a Roger Dean cover at all. So I had a look through the albums and found this interesting image. As I pointed out in the question, it's a real object, it's a photograph, rather than a Roger Dean cover. So it's from before the band started using Roger Dean for their covers. Two people did indeed get the answer right to this one, but there were some interesting other suggestions. Ken Fuller suggested going for the one, and said that he thinks it's the fence that Chris Squire is sitting on in the inside cover photo. I'm sure it does look quite like that, Ken, but that's not the answer to this one. Also, Paul Tomei said that he didn't really have a clue, and he suggested that where they're all standing up on the first Yes album, but he has none of his vinyl albums left, he points out, which is a shame, Paul. The real answer was the Yes album. It's the back cover of the version of the vinyl record that I've got, where there is a head of a mannequin suspended over a chair, and this picture was part of that chair from the back cover of the Yes album. I have seen several different versions of the Yes album cover, but this is from the one that I have, which looks like it's been taken on real film. They've designed it to look like it's a contact sheet from a real roll of film. So that was question two, the back cover of the Yes album. Question three took us back to a traditional Roger Dean cover, but I wanted to make it as tricky as possible, so I took a very, very small section of the artwork indeed. It did seem to stump a few people. There were fewer answers to this question than some of the others, and there was a difference of opinion from the people who did submit an answer. I did try to give a clue. My clue was it's a form of transport, and the second part of the clue was in the subtitle of the photograph, which is flying question mark. So it's a form of transport and it's flying. So a couple of people who did get it right were Ken Fuller. On the second go, Ken, you said fragile, and Joost Maglev also said fragile. It is indeed from the cover of Fragile. But it's the back cover of Fragile with the planet in the distance and the Roger Dean galleon, flying spaceship galleon, and it's a tiny detail from the wing of that flying galleon. So that was question three. For question four, I took a break from the photo questions and asked you to name five keyboard players, four guitarists, three vocalists, two drummers, and one bass guitarist who have been with the band, including, you could put in, live-only members, those who've not actually featured on a studio recording. I also said for extra credit that you could name them in order of first joining the band. Several people, as you'd expect, managed to answer this absolutely correctly. But one of the amusing aspects was the person who will remain nameless, who managed to include live-only players, but in fact forgot the current keyboard player in the band. Question 5 was a quotation from 1994 from one member of the band. It comes from the Yes Stories book by Tim Morse. I never got to know Tony until we did 90125, and then we spent a lot of time together and became very good friends. So who could that be? Well, there are several people, in fact, aren't there? If you think about the chronology of the band, one answer was Chris Squire, and Joost Maglev answered that and put in brackets, "I know it's a gamble." At Electric Freedom answered, "I think it was John Anderson." Rings a bell, but could be very wrong. And four others got the answer absolutely correct. It was, in fact, Alan White. And if you think about it, Alan White wasn't in the band when Tony Kaye was there originally, joined afterwards, but in fact when Tony Kaye rejoined for 90125, that's when they got together and struck up a really great friendship. Question 6 was also a quotation from the same book, Yes Stories, but this time it's from 1991. Which member of the band said, "I have always considered myself part of what might be called the egg, or the nucleus of Yes"? And once again, this could be various members of the band. And in the answers I received, we had Chris Squire, Bill Bruford on the Union Tour, John Anderson or Alan White. Now, at risk of being slightly unfair to you, the answer was the same as the previous answer. It was indeed Alan White again. And I think it's quite a revealing quotation, isn't it? Always considered myself part of what might be called the egg or the nucleus of Yes, despite not being the first drummer, despite not being the drummer that some people consider should have stayed with the band. Alan White has certainly carved out that place for himself, and I think I agree with him. He certainly is, for me, part of the nucleus of Yes. For question 7, I went outside the band itself and came across this fantastic comment very recently. To my mind, Yes may be the single most important of all the progressive rock bands, a group that influenced my desire to write music and helped in no small way to shape my love for playing complex rock. Not really a clue, but in the introduction to the question I said, which prog rock legend said the following, and it's a prog rock legend who is currently very much in the news. I got this quotation actually from the sleeve notes of The Word Is Live, which I received for Father's Day very recently, and I was delighted to see who had said it. An interesting range of answers came back, for example, John Petrucci, but in fact several people got the answer absolutely right. We're talking about Geddy Lee of Rush, as I say, very much in the news with their new album topping the charts in the US at least, and probably all the way around the world by now, and fantastic to see his support of Yes and how much of an influence Yes has been throughout his career. Now then, question 8. I went back to the photograph questions on question 8, and it really is a very tricky one and very obscure, so I said I would take the best closest answer. It's a tiny fragment of a vinyl cover, but it's not an album cover. There was a suggestion that it might come from the cover of Tomato, but really nobody got it, and I wasn't that surprised, to be honest. It is in fact a tiny detail from the front cover of Love Will Find a Way, the 12-inch single version of the single. Now, those of you who are as old as me, or even older perhaps, will remember that in the 1980s, if you wanted a single to do well, you needed to produce various different versions of it. Sometimes different 7-inch singles, but generally the idea was to produce remixes and different versions on 12-inch. People like Frankie Goes to Hollywood cornered the market in this, producing various different versions of 12-inches to boost sales. So this is from 1987 and featured Love Will Find a Way extended version, Love Will Find a Way the Rise and Fall mix, and Holy Lamb, brackets, Song for Harmonic Convergence. Obviously produced by Yes, Trevor Rabin, etc. So that's perhaps the most obscure question of the whole quiz. Or maybe I'm wrong, perhaps question 9 was the most obscure. Question 9, who is the sound engineer who was with the band from the early 70s until 1980, and incidentally was at the University of Warwick with my colleague, Jim? The answers to this included only two names. Several people suggested Eddie Offord, which is very obvious, and Joost Maglev suggested Nigel Luby. But in fact, it's neither of those characters, it's someone completely different. You may want to quibble with the sound engineer tag that I gave to this person, you may want to call him something else, but as usual with all good pub quizzes or any kind of quiz, the quizmaster's decision is final, and I'm going to insist on the answer that I've got written on the virtual card. If you've got a copy of Close to the Edge to hand, have a look at the sleeve notes. If you've got the vinyl copy, it's in big letters on the back. If you've got the CD copy, then it'll be somewhere else. The person I was referring to is Mike Dunn, who is credited on the back of the album with tapes. If you have a look on Wikipedia, and I'll put the link to this in the show notes, you can see how much he did for the band. He was there during the formative years of the band, and I've been trying to persuade Mike to come onto the podcast and talk about it. I'm still in the process of trying to do that. Final question, question 10, was which familial team worked on the band's live shows? Ken Fuller and Paul Wilson both mentioned the Clare brothers, as did Joost Maglev. But Joost then went on to say that the other possibility was Roger and Martin Dean, who designed sets in the 70s and in the early 2000s. And that was the answer I was looking for, so well done, Joost. So it's time we talked about the results of the quiz. Honourable mentions need to go to Paul Tormey and Ken Fuller, who got very, very close, but just out in the lead in the end was our friend Joost Maglev. So well done indeed, Joost. You'll be receiving the very small prize, as I keep referring to it, through the post, and you'll need to let me have a postal address for you. So there we are, the results of the first ever Yes Music Podcast quiz. I enjoyed it a lot, and I hope you did too. One day, perhaps later this year, we'll have another quiz, perhaps in a different format. For now, though, thank you very much indeed for everyone who took part in the quiz, and congratulations again to Joost. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Just before I go, as I said at the beginning, just a few words on each of the items that I keep reading out every week. I thought it was about time that I explain some of them more carefully. So as I usually say, before next week, you can get involved with the podcast by doing one of the following things. Leaving a comment on the blog at www.yesmusicpodcast.com. I love receiving your comments and I reply to every single one of them. There's quite a community of regular posters there, so please do come along and add your comments. You can also send a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter if you're a member of Twitter yourself. Do get involved in there as well, because on Twitter we have lots of very interesting conversations throughout the week, a lot of them connected with Yes, but also about other prog bands, and it's one of the main ways that I keep up to date with what's happening in the world of progressive rock music. Please do come and join us on Twitter. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. Those of you who don't like to comment openly on the website or via Twitter, feel free to send me an email that way, and I always respond to those ones as well. You can upload an audio file or record a voice message via the buttons on the site. Particularly if you're interested in appearing on the show yourself, please do that. It's very simple to click the send a message button on the right-hand side of the website. If you've got a microphone plugged into your computer, or if you have an internal microphone, you can record what usually turns out to be a very decent voicemail that way. And I love receiving those, so please do get involved that way. Or you can leave a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. That is a UK number, but you can still access it from abroad if you wanted to. It's charged at a local call rate, and once again, a great way to get involved with the show yourself. Finally, I'd like to urge you to subscribe to the show on Stitcher.com or via the RSS or iTunes links on the website. It really helps me to know how many people are listening regularly, and subscribing is the best way of making sure that you don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Signing up to the email updates sends you an email every time I update the blog. That's with an episode of the podcast or with a blog post. So that's a great way of keeping up to date with absolutely everything that happens on the site and in the podcast. So please do get involved in any one of those ways that you want to. Many thanks. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.